Welcome to The False Dragons. This is a spoiler-free podcast for the book series The Wheel of Time, written by Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson. Join us as we, your hosts, Alid, Mike, and Andrew, explore this amazing series for the first time. We hope you will join us on this journey.
Welcome to The False Dragons. Episode something.
Insert here.
Yeah.
And that was extremely strong.
Yeah. Chapter 37.
Yep.
The long chase.
Chapter 37, the long chase. But please remember to drop in on our Twitters at The False Dragons.
I still haven't been on the Twitter. I should have been, shouldn't I?
You're gonna need to put the mic a bit closer to your face, mate. You're not being picked up at all.
Or face closer to Mike.
You can put your face closer to Mike if you want to. Please drop us a like or a follow or a sub, however it works on the platform you are listening to us on.
Did
very much appreciate that.
Comment?
We did get a comment. We did get a comment. Actually, a very insightful comment.
Did you print it out?
I did not print it out. They were just, somebody was clarifying our misconception around the way the books, the original trilogy was written and the extension of the deal into like a much larger deal rather than just a trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So were we wrong?
Of course we were wrong. Yeah. Of course we were.
Yeah. So we threw shade on Robbie yet again. Incorrectly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like most of my knowledge is gleaned from like little pieces of information that I pull from various little things. Yeah. So it's all kind of like scattergun approach to research.
But you speak with authority.
Well, you have to. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Otherwise, nobody's going to have confidence in
that's you. That's the Joe Rogan approach.
Exactly. The Alex Jones way.
Yeah. Do your own research.
Yeah. Bro, I've done my research. Yeah. So thank you very much for that comment. That was really insightful. What's the name of this chapter that we're looking at?
The Long Chase. We've said that already, mate.
Yeah. I don't remember anything that happened more than 5 seconds ago. Come on.
And I think...
And it's the sun.
On some level... what I really like about this chapter and the next chapter is they're simultaneous.
I thought you were going to say that they're not about Rand. Yeah, because I know you were complaining about the long...
Rambling Rand.
Yeah, rambling Rand, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fun to come back to a couple of chapters ago where we had this kind of peril set up with...
Perrin and...
And to come back to that.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like there was a bit of a cliffhanger left with them that we then gone off and looked somewhere else in the universe that you're kind of waiting to get back into this stuff.
The interesting stuff is happening to them.
Yeah.
Rand and Matt are just like another village.
Yeah.
Another haystack.
Yeah.
Sleeping in a bush.
Yeah.
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 Cool. So Nynaeve is the focus.
The point of view character?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, if you want to use like actual terminology. Yeah.
It might help.
I liked the initial description of Rand's horse, Mandarb. And like the only reason the battle-trained stallion was letting her get this close was because Lan had handed her the reins himself, and like she'd reached out to try and like get the reins, but the horse had like bared its teeth.
Yeah,
and she said that like it was even the silence had made the bared teeth seem that much more dangerous.
Yeah,
like it hadn't even like grumbled or anything. It was just like I'm gonna bite your fucking hand off if you touch my reins.
I like her little snide comment that she cuts herself off from about Moraine.
Oh yeah, just because your mistress is a cold face. Finish that thought. Yeah.
She can probably hear her, that's why.
Yeah. Says they've left her alone in the darkness while they're off doing something. And then it sort of jumps back a wee bit.
Does it?
Well, I kind of got that impression. She's there holding the horses, and then it's kind of like... Then it was like telling them what they'd done to get there, but it was no sort of... It was like they had followed the Camelin Road until Moraine sat forward in Aldib's saddle. I like how he names every horse in the book as well as every person.
Yeah.
And then just talking about how they've gone off the road through the forest to find the guy that had the coin.
Yeah.
You know? So I felt that was maybe a little bit confusing. It was like, what are they doing? And then it was like, after leaving Whitebridge, they had ridden through the village, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I mean, we knew they were heading after the coin, right? Or whoever had the coin.
Yeah. Lucky that everyone's sort of converging on Camelin. Like, even the white cloaks are heading towards Camelin.
Yeah.
So making everything a bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they spent a couple of days going through the forest. And then one evening after they'd left the road, the invisible trail failed. Moiraine, the unflappable Moiraine, suddenly stood up beside the small fire where the tea kettle was boiling, her eye widening. It is gone. And she's like, is he dead? And she's like, no, he didn't die.
Yeah.
But then, like, if we keep going in this direction, like, I'll pick up the trail when we get close.
So do we know what happened there? Was that something that happened in the
yeah,
chapter?
So I'm guessing that was when they were just captured and yeah. they had all their stuff taken off them.
Yeah.
And he had the coin. Old mate, what's his name? Bornhold.
Yeah.
Had the coin. And he was like, because obviously he'd taken it from Perrin. But like, yeah. Well, why have you got a Tar Valon witch's coin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's probably them. But then he sort of gets it back, and I don't remember him being given it back.
No, yeah.
Maybe he was, and we missed that. Mm. But apparently it's given back to him, so.
It's interesting to think about how that works.
What, the coin?
The coin thing, yes. So, like, is she constantly searching for the coin? Or is it just that once the coin goes, she gets some kind of notification? Bing bong!
Or maybe she just kind of has it already in her consciousness. Like when she's given somebody a coin,
yeah,
taking it as a gift, it's kind of...
It's like a map in her head with the locations of all the coins.
Yeah. Which would get annoying after a while. Like you wouldn't give out too many coins.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't want to go mad in your first year as an Aes Sedai and give loads of people coins. And then by like year two, you're like going crazy. Like, fuck, where are all these people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But interesting that she can tell... That it's somebody who has a coin, but not who has which coin.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's not OP.
It's not, but then there's nuance to it because she can tell he's not dead. Well, how would there be a different response if he died but still had the coin compared to if someone takes the coin off them, right?
Mm. Yeah. Maybe we'll find out how that works.
Maybe.
One evening, Nynaeve's sleeping, and then like Lan wakes her up. And I like the way it describes his chameleon cloak.
Yeah.
Like he blends in so well with the night that his face like just seemed to be suspended in the air. And the hand on her arm appeared to come out of like thin air. Have you had much of a description yet about the cloaks and the way the water's cloaks look?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they just kind of describe it as like in the village and initially they describe it as like a color changing cloak.
Okay.
It's sort of your eye can't quite focus on it.
Yeah,
it's sort of always, yeah, it's sort of distracting in a way.
So it's like that one that they wear in Lord of the Rings where they just pull it over them and blend in with the rocks kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder where Robert Jordan got the idea from.
Yeah. Anyone's guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why does he wake her up?
Because they found the camp. They found the White Cloak camp.
Well, shouldn't he be sleeping?
Lan?
Yeah.
Lan
does he not sleep?
I don't think Lan sleeps.
No.
I think he gets like an hour a week.
Yeah.
And he's like,
that's all he needs.
That's all he needs. Yeah.
Water, what is that, like some water power?
I think so. I think warders get like stat boosts.
Yeah.
From their like Aes Sedai bond.
Yeah. So they don't need to rest.
No.
And
they travel like 46 inches a turn,
yeah,
rather than the standard 24.
Yeah,
yeah,
because he's always going backwards and forwards, right?
Yeah,
he does seem to be like he never tires, right?
Mm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so you are needed.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, I like that.
There's a bit of bonding in this chapter, which I quite like.
There is a little bit of bonding. I like the way that Nynaeve is always assuming that Lan's like gonna laugh at her.
Yeah,
like she's asleep and she thinks like, oh, he's gonna say like, ha ha ha, I snuck up on you so easily.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, which is I think what she would do to him in that position.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
you know, like maybe she wouldn't say it out loud, but she would definitely think that.
Yeah,
and that actually comes up again once or twice in this chapter, right? Her sort of competitive nature in regards to Lan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She wants to be Moraine's number one.
You reckon that's what it is? Yeah. That's why she hates Moraine so much, because she's secretly in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's actually secretly in love with Lan, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What makes you think that?
Oh, she's always trying to impress him, right?
I mean, I read it as like, competition.
I think she's pretty impressed by him as well.
Yeah, she does mention his strong hands
and how he's more sneaky than her, and she considered herself very sneaky, right?
Yeah.
And I think that moment where he was a little impressed with her,
yeah,
a few chapters ago.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't realize she was watching them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
oh yeah, so you reckon there's a bit of a burgeoning relationship?
Well, I don't know, maybe it's one-sided because Lan seems to be a bit of a eunuch.
Well, we know that he's smooth downstairs. Yeah. Like a Ken doll.
Yeah,
yeah,
no time for that.
No, he's just killing shit,
single-minded.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, mate, when you're the last Lord of the Seven Towers, you've got to have a bit of a one-track mind.
Well, I mean, otherwise there might be another lord, right?
Yes.
So he's,
yes, like if you take your eye off the ball, you won't be the last Lord of the Seven Towers. Another Lord will come along. And yeah, then you're like,
well, no,
the next,
I mean,
to last Lord of the Seven Towers. Yeah, that's just not good enough.
If he has a child, then he's no longer the last Lord, right? So,
yeah. Facts.
Cut it off.
Exactly.
And there you go. You're the last Lord, right?
Commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're never going to get that title, right? You could say probably the last Lord for... Yeah. Who knows, right? I might meet someone.
That's not good enough. You've got to be the last Lord. So the White Cloaks, 200 of them. And I like that Moiraine's like already like scouted it out. She's like, yeah, they're right in the middle.
Is this in a steading still?
It's on the edge of the steading.
Yeah.
It's not in the steading.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was something I was going to question.
No, 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 it's not. Because we find out in the next chapter.
Oh, they've moved, right?
They've been moving.
Yeah,
they haven't been staying in the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that she just assumes that, like, he's going to free them.
Yeah.
She's like, how are you going to free him? And then she's kind of like, he is a warder. Some of the stories must be true, right? But also, like you say, like maybe she is kind of falling from a little bit. She's like assuming he's this kind of like superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Terminator.
200 men down there. Of course, Lan can just go in and take them out. Of course, he can.
I mean, it would be an interesting chapter, just like page after page of Lan stabbing White Cloaks, right?
I'd love a chapter from Lan's perspective.
Yeah.
And he's just thinking like murder, murder, murder.
Yeah.
Murder. Just
Just the sound of cracking limbs and skewering with swords. Just
that would be good fun.
10 pages.
It just turns, it's instead of words, it's just a comic book, and it's just like Batman, like, papa, slap.
Yeah.
So he suggests a plan, right? Or he says they'll be on us unless they are too busy to chase us. Are you willing to take a chance? And she's like, to help an Amon's fielder? Of course. What kind of chance?
Yeah.
And he's like, go and like cut all the horse lines so that when Moraine creates a diversion, they'll be too busy chasing their own horses to come after us. There are but two guards on that side of the camp beyond the picket lines. And but if you are half as good as I think you are, they'll never see you. Aww. So he has a bit of respect for her.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh yeah, by the way, wolves are around as well. So just be aware of that.
She throws a bit of shade. I like her little bit of sarcasm.
Yeah. I only grew up around shepherds. Yeah. She's good at that.
She can't hide who she is, right? She is a bit of a... she's got to have a bit of lip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even in this moment where they're planning to free their friends, right?
Yes. Yeah.
She's got to bite back a little bit.
Yeah. She was one of my favorite characters in the first book.
Yeah.
Of course, she's better than Matt.
And even Moraine, I think, has a little word with her to kind of give her a bit of reassurance that she's important.
She's part of the pattern too. Yeah.
I would not risk you any more than any of the others.
Yeah.
Which do you think that's true?
No, because in the next chapter she goes back on that almost immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when they, we'll get to it. But yeah, she goes back on that straight away.
Do you think she knows who's important and who isn't?
No. Well, I mean, yes.
So do you think Moraine would sacrifice all of them to save Rand?
Maybe not Rand specifically, but I think of the three boys, because she doesn't know which one is the dragon reborn, right? Yeah. But I think if it was like...
anyone else other than one of the three boys, she'd... yeah. Push him over a cliff if it meant saving one of the boys.
Yeah. 100%, man.
Yeah. And she looks around for Lan and he's gone. I love that.
Yeah. I know. Light blind the bloody man.
He's just off. He's
I know.
Like, Leroy.
Yeah. So I like that. There's a couple of bits here. I like that she was, first she like bundled off down the hill and she's like cracking branches cracking under her feet. And then she was like, she slowed down, glad there was no one there to see her blush. The idea was to be quiet. And she was not in any kind of competition with the warder. And then it's like a direct thought.
Yeah.
She's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like really? Yeah. You sure about that? And then the next best bit, I think, is the description of the two guards. And in my mind, this was like Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
You know, just guards like just walking straight lines, walking their paths, you know, just not looking left or right. As long as you avoid their
can see their sight cone.
Yes, as long as you avoid the sight cone.
Yeah.
And because she even kind of thinks that in a way, she was like, they probably wouldn't even see me if I was standing.
Yeah.
Just
and they get to their specific point.
Yes.
And then they go, all is well with the night.
Yes.
The light illuminates us and protects us from the shadow.
Yes.
And then they turn around and walk in the opposite direction and then reach the end of there and they go, all is well. They haven't been programmed with too much.
No. There's no free thought in that AI.
No.
They know what they're supposed to do and they do it.
And you're not going to pay anyone else to do multiple lines. So they've just got two lines that they speak, right?
Yeah. So she has a good go, right?
Well, they specifically says, which is quite interesting, you know, each time they took exactly the same count, and each time they rigidly repeated the same formula, not a word more or less.
Yeah.
So these guys are zealots, right?
Yeah.
You know, so much so.
Yeah.
That there's no joking around. There's no banter just between the guards or anything like that, right?
No. It's do the job.
Do the job and yeah. speak the words exactly as they are.
Yeah.
Seems yeah. all a bit...
But there's no freedom of thought.
No.
At all.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the job. This is the route you walk. This is what you say.
Yeah.
This is who you put in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who's not a white cloak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone who is a dark friend or you suspect of being a dark friend, which is everyone who is not a white cloak.
So she reaches the horses.
Yep.
So it's all pretty straightforward, right?
It is. This is where I think there's like a little bit of the pattern coming through.
Mm.
Because she needs to free Perrin. She doesn't know it's Perrin she needs to free. But she needs to free Perrin.
Yeah.
And she needs to pull this off to succeed. And all she's thinking is like, it would just take one whinny from a horse, just one, and the guards would come and investigate.
Yeah.
And the horses don't at all. They just accept her presence.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit of the pattern.
You reckon?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously reading into it.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, you could say that. You could say that. You could all just say, well, it's dumb luck.
Yeah. You know?
But considering the theme of the book.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sort of leaning into that more than I would if I was reading like Stephen King.
Yeah, like, well, it could be her use of the one power.
Could also be her use of the one power.
We know she's a user, right? But just a subconscious user.
Yep. Yep. And actually that comes up very, very soon. So when she's cutting the horses,
yeah.
She also cuts her finger, which I think is quite funny.
Yeah.
So she does 4 out of 5, right? Yeah. And then she's like,
that'll do.
Well, she initially goes, that'll do, right?
Yeah.
If with 4 out of 5 horses running loose, they won't be able to change anything. But then she kind of has like that thought, well, like she could just imagine Lan's eyes when he heard what she had done. Like, she didn't complete the job.
Yeah. He wouldn't be disappointed, though.
Well, there would be no accusation in them. Her reasoning was sound. And he would not expect any more of her. And then she's like, oh, she was a wisdom, not a bloody great invincible warder. Right?
But she wants to impress Lan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to have...
That would be enough to please Lan, but it wouldn't impress Lan.
I don't even think it would please him. I would think she got the job done.
Yeah.
But rather than the opposite, which is that she could justify her failure to some degree.
Yeah.
20% failure is still failure.
Yeah.
Right? Even though she would know he would not think any less of her, she's still like, no, it's not good enough. Maybe you're right. Maybe she is starting to fall for him a little bit. Get a little bit sweaty.
Yeah. She's definitely impressed by him.
Yeah.
Because she was a wisdom, not a bloody great invincible warder who could make himself all but invisible.
Mm.
And that's what sets her on her way, right? I'm gonna impress him.
Yeah. And luckily she does, right? Because the first horse is Bella.
Yeah.
Best girl, Bella.
Best girl, Bella. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I knew when I read that.
Did you think
it? I was like, Alan's going to say best girl, Bella. And you did.
Yeah, I did.
Nothing if not predictable, mate.
Oh, well, you know.
Got to give the listeners what they come for.
Right? Yeah. They come for our smooth, dulcet tones.
Yeah.
Or, not dulcet.
Dulcet.
Dulcet. Yeah.
So I've got a hair in my mouth on them.
You can put in your face close to Mike again.
Yeah. Oh, one of Mike's pubes.
We know Mike doesn't have pubes.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they're all on the floor.
They're all on the floor of the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I took a shit, looked like a Wookiee had a shit.
She kind of has this thought, right, that she needs to, like, take Bella.
Yeah, because...
And another horse.
She's recognizing the pattern.
Well, I don't know whether she's recognizing the pattern.
I think she is. She's saying it's too much of a coincidence, right?
Yeah. So maybe this was the pattern. But she says, like, she knew that if they left riding double, some of the children would catch them no matter how well the horses were scattered. Some of them would die.
Yeah.
She was as certain as if she were listening to the wind. That stuck a spike of fear into her belly, fear of how she was certain.
Yeah.
This had nothing to do with weather or crops or sickness. Why did Moiraine tell me I can use the power? Why couldn't she leave me alone?
So she probably would have put that down to intuition.
Yes, but
she
now
knew
she's going
that
it's the power.
Yeah.
So she knows things. She's able to sort of tell the future to some degree.
Yeah. It's like flashes of intuition, right? At the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is an interesting skill. I don't know if Moiraine has that skill.
Mm. Maybe.
You know? But, yeah.
Seems to be... not to go down this road again, but somewhat the power and people's use of the powers are what is needed in the narrative at whatever time, right? How is that? So we know the powers is like the four elements, right? Five. Elements. Yeah.
It's five.
So what? Wind, earth. No.
I think it's
wind,
it's
water,
fire, water, air, earth,
and mind.
And no, spirit.
Spirit. Yes, mind.
Yeah.
Love.
Captain Planet.
So which one's that, right? Telling the future.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's none of them, maybe? Right? It's none of them.
So it's mind.
No, it's none of them.
It's none of them.
No. It's just bullshit.
It's bullshit, is it?
Yeah. It's Deus Ex Machina.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You're going to incite a riot, maybe, but yeah, that's fine.
So do throughout the books, is there any other mind reading, Jedi mind reading, or Jedi prediction of the future?
You have to read and find out, mate.
Oh, yeah.
You have to read and find out. What I will say is that in this book in particular, I think Robert Jordan was still working out the magic system.
Yeah.
In the rest of the books, it becomes a lot more, I would say after about book three.
More defined.
Yeah. Becomes more defined, more consistent.
Power sets.
Well, the way it works, I think, is ironed out.
Yeah.
In this, he's got an idea of how things work.
Yeah.
And I think that becomes much more, well-defined over time.
Okay.
Yeah. In this, we'll go back on some of the things that happen in this book.
Yeah.
At a later date, and I'll show you more about what I mean when it becomes more, like, obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is definitely him sort of working it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So we're going to forgive Robbie in this instance.
Are we?
I will.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You know.
What about the listeners?
Well,
that's who matters, right?
Yeah, well, they can comment and tell us
whether
they forgave Robbie or not for his...
indiscretions.
Cool. So she grabs a couple of horses and then all hell breaks loose.
What happens?
Magic and shit.
What is it? Lightning?
Yeah. She goes like, light, make her do it now before ... And then it's like abruptly lightning shatters.
So is this...
It's like kapow, kabloom.
Is this quite interesting that Rand has this power set as well? Right? So we know...
Oh, because he called lightning.
He called lightning, right?
Yeah.
but he's like, he doesn't even know he's doing it.
Yeah.
And then Moraine has the same power.
Yeah.
To call lightning when she's trained for however many years and
yeah.
is however far up she is
in the Aes Sedai.
In the Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
And Rand, a country bumpkin.
Yeah.
With no training whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, Dragon Reborn, mate.
Exactly. You know, he's pretty powerful, right?
Yeah.
That's a good, I think that's a good little indicator of how
powerful Rand is. I mean, to be fair, we don't know in the scale of magic how powerful lightning is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like Babby's first trick.
Yeah.
Right?
Wasn't that setting fire to the match?
Uh-huh.
She was teaching Nynaeve to, or was it Egwene to?
No, it was make a crystal glow.
Oh yeah, make a crystal glow. So that's the first trick. Second trick, lightning.
Yeah. This is like baby stuff.
But she said people train for years.
Yeah.
To make the crystal glow.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
So you've got to think that lightning is a decade-long study to get lightning, right, or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe.
And Rand's just popping it out.
Yeah. Just like whenever,
mate. Doesn't even try.
Didn't even know he's doing it.
Just, yeah.
Easy. Didn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that's put in there as kind of like a hint that Rand did the lightning before?
If you hadn't picked that up here.
Yeah.
And there's lightning there.
Yeah.
It's another clue.
It's
could be, yeah.
Lightning is magical, right?
Yeah, it could be.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should ask our viewers, like, when did you first realize that it was Rand saving himself from these situations? Because there was also the what's it called? The swinging arm on the ships.
Yeah.
I forget what that's
the
called.
Boom.
The boom arm.
Yeah.
The boom arm that knocked the
poor Trolloc. Gelb.
Yeah.
Gelb did nothing wrong.
Well, he might get his own back.
Yeah.
You don't know. Got a few books yet.
Yeah.
Gelb turns out to be the dark one.
Oh.
He's like, just because of what Rand did to him, he's like devoted his life to revenge.
I think what I would love is like the final battle again, right? You know, and
yeah.
There's all these Trollocs fighting and then like across the battlefield, Gelb fighting with the Trollocs, right? He just comes charging down. Rand just clicks his fingers or something and he just dead. Just not even disappearing in like smoke and screaming, just gone.
Yeah. Just like you're not even worth my time to torture.
Yeah,
just
And he spent, you know, years planning his revenge.
That's so Gelb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gelb. Yeah. So just before we end this chapter, Nynaeve nearly gets torn apart by two horses,
yeah,
and then eaten by wolves.
Did she?
Well, just as she jumps on Bella's back, and then she's pulling the other horse along, and then her jaw dropped as a long grey shadow snarled past, seeming to ignore her and the horses with her, but teeth snapping at the crazed animals now darting in every direction. So the wolves are like driving the horses insane.
The wolves are helping, right?
The wolves are helping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but she sort of assumes it's Moraine. She's like, what is Moraine doing?
Yeah.
And then she legs it. And that's the end of the chapter. It's not a bad chapter. It's good to get back, like you say, out of Rand's head.
And it feels like a fairly succinct chapter as well.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the chapters he wrote first time around.
Oh, yeah, because there's no rambling.
There's no filler, right?
Yeah. It's just...
To the point. This is what happens. This is what happens.
Yeah. So, refreshing.
Yeah.
A good chapter in your eyes, then.
Yeah, definitely. It moves the narrative forward.
Yep.
Introduces some contemplation around power sets.
Yep.
And we have some character bonding.
Yeah.
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 For a short chapter, it's pretty chocker with good stuff.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of things to think on.
Yeah.
Potential romance.
Yeah.
Lan and Nynaeve.
Yeah.
What do you
reckon, Mike? Will they hook up?
Nah.
Nah?
You can't see it?
Nah, not at all.
No. Why is that? What do you?
She's too much of a good person. No, I hate her. She sucks.
So it's not that you don't think it'll happen, you just don't want it to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. She, you don't think she deserves Lan?
No,
Lan's too good for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
We see this is an interesting duality, because Alet feels that she's one of the best characters in this book, and
yeah,
you no, dislike the character.
Yeah.
For what reason? Just because she's too competitive.
Just everything about her.
Yeah, her insecurities.
I think he's scared by a confident woman.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think she is confident, right? She's always overcompensating. Her confidence is bluster.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
She's, you know, we know because we were in her head.
Yeah.
That she's always, like, I think she trying would to have impress
been,
people,
I think
right?
She would have been confident back in Aemon's Field.
Maybe.
Stomping around in a good stout shoes.
Maybe, like, maybe.
Knocking heads together on the women's circle.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But out here...
So, but that still sounds like to me that she's out to prove something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know. I take her as someone who internally is not confident and overcompensates into...
So you're sort of a classic bully complex.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, maybe subconsciously that's my kind of woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, someone who's going to bully me.
I mean, you know, I would, if you didn't have an Asian wife, I would put you just down for maybe Margaret Thatcher or someone like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love Maggie.
Helen Clark.
Not Helen Clark, no. I like Maggie. She just tell me what to do. Send me to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She put me in my place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the statue they put up?
Margaret Thatcher?
Margaret Thatcher, yeah. And like,
no,
they had to put like a fence around it to stop people pissing on it.
That's a little bit like over the top.
Is it?
Yeah, well, I mean,
well,
like,
you would
we
say
have,
that.
We
you
have
would...
lots of statues of wankers, but nobody pisses on them.
You would say that as a southerner, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try that opinion in the north of England.
I think they should have put the statue of Margaret Thatcher in the middle of Liverpool town centre just to piss people off.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like fences all around it, can't get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't just, steal this.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Fucking Northerners steal anything, mate. Fence ain't going to stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a bit of bants to end the episode on.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, look, thank you for joining us.
Join us next episode.
Yep.
Well, which is going to be required listening.
Well, we'll have had after, two beers then, so
after,
we'll be loose.
Well, I mean, after this chapter, the next chapter, I think is very complimentary to this one.
Yeah.
Because it tells the same story from the other side.
Yeah.
Which is interesting yet again.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Again, please remember to drop in on our Twitters for updates. Give us a follow, a like, share, all that good stuff. And thank you very much again for listening.